It's time now for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the games we all love. Now, here's Will Hampton.
And thank you once again for joining me, your host, Will Hampton, on Catholic Sports Weekly here on Catholic Radio Indy. Again, we're still looking for more underwriters, and you can contact me at Will, W-I-L, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's Will with one L, Will at CatholicRadioIndy.org. A big game last week in high school football. We were talking about it, and it was Cathedral and Roncalli, and a lot of people said, well, it's exactly what we expected this game would be. It was a battle, and Cathedral moves on, beating the Rebels 28-23. Just a great year for the Rebels, but they run into that juggernaut of postseason play, the Cathedral Irish, and the Irish move on. And they've got a tough one. This Friday, they take on Decatur Central. Now, the D.C. Hawks have only won 9 straight. They lost their first game of the regular season, and they haven't lost since. So they move forward, and so that's going to be another great football game in the round 2 of the sectional championship, actually, Cathedral against Decatur Central. Cecina's still kicking, 2A, sectional 37. They beat Eastern Hancock 41-7. They move on to play Triton Central, and Chittard and Ritter play each other next in the 3A sectional 29 final. Chittard moved past Broad Ripple 48-0, while Ritter beat Indian Creek 41-22. Interesting story for Coach Ty Hunt and the Ritter Raiders. Here they were defending state champs in 2A, but now they're playing in the 3A tournament, and they move on to take on always perennial power Chittard. So that's going to be another good football game, Chittard against Ritter. Brebeuf is also still playing some good football. They beat Blackford last week. Their running back, Isaiah Martin, what a day, what a night. 11 carries, 154 yards. Their next game is against Southmont. Also, don't forget about high school girls soccer. They wrapped up this last week, and Guerin Catholic, oh, so close. They lost a heartbreaker to Penn. Now, Penn hasn't lost a game in 2 years. This was a defensive struggle. Guerin, though, bows out in the championship game as Penn beats him 2-0. And now joining us on the phone is the coach of the Guerin Catholic girls soccer team, Jonathan McClure. Coach McClure, what a great run. I know Penn got you 2-0, but I think what you found out is that your team's pretty good, too. That you just ran into a program that is just on fire, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why they've been so successful, and their resume is so strong over the course of the past 3 years, getting to that stage of the tournament each of the last 3 years and winning it last year and this year against us on Friday night.
Now, that one was a defensive struggle. Well, they scored like at the 54th minute or something like that. So a lot of very tense moments really throughout the game to get to that point. But you guys are kind of used to that. I mean, your team has to play good defense all the time, but maybe, you correct me if I'm wrong, might have been the best defense you ran into all year, right, with Penn?
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, I think that the pressure they came at us with, you know, had us buried a lot deeper than maybe we wanted to be, and I think that their immediate pressure had us kind of rushing our play a little bit and weren't able to build with as much success as we had up to that point. So I don't want to take any credit away from what their defense did, but I think that once we calmed down and really started to think about where the space was we wanted to try to get into and making sure we were mobile enough to have bodies and feet into that space, you know, we were able to create enough chances, you know, to make the game pretty interesting. We're just a few inches away on each of those attempts.
Talking with Jonathan McClure, he's the head coach of the Guerin Catholic girls soccer program. They finished runner-up in the state in a 3A draw. That is an accomplishment in itself. I know, you know, in the moments after the game and even the days after a game, I'm sure it's hard for the girls to appreciate what runner-up really means. I mean, runner-up, nobody likes to, you know, nobody likes to lose any time. But runner-up in the state 3A tournament, that's pretty impressive. Have they embraced that yet, or are they still kind of hurting from the loss?
I got to be honest with you, Will. I mean, I think this inquiry kind of goes back to exactly the type of kids I was working with all year. You know, I think the girls were very much at peace. I mean, nobody does like to lose, and of course they were disappointed that they did lose. You know, but they knew that what they had accomplished was really special. And it was really special because they did it together. And at the end of the day, regardless of that 0-2 result, they knew that they left everything they had out there on the field, you know, and they put forth their greatest effort. So, truth be told, I mean, that was the maturity that we've been working with all year, you know, and that's all you can do. And it's like we told them. I mean, such is in life. You know, this isn't going to be the only time that you really, really want something, and it doesn't work out the way you want it to, you know. But you do the best that you can, and you hope, you know, that you're as prepared as you can, and you've done enough to get the result that you want, and we fell short on Friday. But at the end of the day, they knew that they, like I said, left everything they had out on the field, and everybody did that and gave everything they had for the team, so there's nothing to dwell on. You know, it was an unbelievable year.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this when we had you on the show a couple weeks ago. The families, I mean, I told you, you know, I know the Staggies, and I know the Hogans, I know some of the girls on the team, and they just come from such great families, and I'm sure that with their Catholic faith rooted in their family, that's probably why you have the girls that you have, right?
I mean, they have an unbelievable work ethic in everything that they do, right? Their faith and their commitment to God is very, very important to them. And they're excited to share that with one another and with others. Academics is incredibly important. Their involvement within the school, within the community, you know, and obviously their family. Everything we're doing is such a back burner item, you know, to every one of these kids, you know, and they're still able to give as much as they do to us and every extracurricular that they are participating in within Garen Catholic's offerings.
Well,
so
Garen,
it's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, Garen Catholic is such a great community, and you saw that with your soccer program. I mean, that has to just really ignite a fire in you to continue this and keep moving forward because of the community aspect. I mean, the student body that turned out for the championship game and throughout the entire season, there was a rallying behind your team that yeah, sure, it was about soccer and you won games and this, that, and the other, but it was about a community really coming together and sharing a love not only for the game, but for a love for each other. And that's special to be a leader, I'm sure, in that kind of environment.
Well, the term family, as you mentioned it a moment ago, in regard to the households that my fantastic kids are coming from, is a very broad word. You know, we are very much a community, and we are very much a family, and that goes to the alumni. Out of a lot of alumni, Will, from my early days at Garen Catholic, you know, the 2008 years, 9 years, 2010 when we first went to state, you know, some of those kids left their colleges, left their real jobs to come in and see the girls compete for a title. A couple of them flew in to watch the game.
Wow.
You have the unbelievable student body, all the teachers. I mean, it was like the whole school was there. It was unbelievable. And then, you know, then you actually have the families. You have all the parents, all the grandparents, all the siblings, all the cousins. What an environment. What an atmosphere, and how special for the girls to come out of that tunnel, turn around, and see that massive wall of support, that being our community, all there to celebrate them and celebrate with one another and watch a great game between Garen Catholic and Penn.
Talking with head coach of Garen Catholic girls soccer team, Jonathan McClure. The one thing that wasn't there is the purple couch. There's a big story about that. You tell me the story. There's a purple couch, I guess, that is probably typically on the sidelines for the games, but the IHSAA in their wisdom said that purple couch or purple sofa, I'm not sure which one you call it, was not allowed in the state championship game. And that's too bad. You needed that. That was, you know, it's not a, some people want to say good luck charm, but it's just more of an environment thing, right? But tell me about the purple couch.
Well, look, I mean, every school does something unique, and typically that revolves around the senior class. And our senior class had gone and purchased a couch, painted it up purple, and I think all my gals had signed that in, you know, 2018, the graduating year on it and all that. And it kind of became a staple for that class at our games, you know, and then it kind of, you know, kept showing up, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of became a staple for the tournament, and, you know, the Indy Star had written, wrote a great article on it. And look, at the end of the day, I think that anything that gets kids excited that is harmless, you know, should be something that we should encourage. You know, this is, everything we're doing is for the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
To maximize their experiences within life and get the most out of it and have as much fun as possible so long as it's safe. And in my opinion, I feel like the IHSAA probably has a few more things they could probably be doing than worrying about a purple couch.
Yeah, I agree. And it just sometimes it's like the NFL. They used to have the No Fun League, people called it. I love the Indiana High School Athletic Association. They do so much for the kids. And we've had Matt Wolford on, who's with the Indiana High School Foundation. And they do so much work to try to give back and help. But you're right. Something like this, they ought to just kind of look the other way and let it happen, right?
Yeah, it just became a distraction. You know, I think for the prep for the game, but more importantly, just for the game as a whole. I mean, I think it took a little bit of attention away from the stage and from all the kids and, you know, the environment as a whole. Pretty harmless.
Yeah, it is. So what's next? I know for the seniors, they're done in high school. That's hard. I just had my son end his football career. When they lose, it hurts. But I would imagine losing at the stage you guys lost softens it a little bit. But now you have to say goodbye to some good seniors, and you start moving towards for next year, right?
Yeah, so I'm all ready for next year, you know. So what was it, Belichick? Someone asked Belichick, you know, how he felt about winning the title last year, and he said, "I feel like we're a month behind," you know, and I kind of feel the same way. But again, what a great run! Want to certainly celebrate all the girls, but certainly our seniors. So this next week, we'll be doing evaluations with all the kids and be spending time with them individually in regard their season and where they're going ahead. And for those 10 kids that are going to graduate here in another few months, it's, you know, what's next and what do you need and what questions do you have about that stage of your life and all that. And then we'll have our awards banquet here next week and have a lot to get excited about. Again, this was a history-breaking season for us at Guerin Catholic, both individually and as a team. But then when I'm looking at, you know, who was on our tournament roster, we had 15 underclassmen that were part of this run. You know, so we had, you know, 7 freshmen that medaled and 8 sophomores that medaled. And we're starting 2 freshmen and a sophomore within the class of 8 seniors that we're starting. So, you know, when you talk about where are we going and what's next, why can't we continue to build off what we did last year and this year? And why can't we start to put together a resume like Penn High School?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where my mind's at. And I know the girls feel the same way, so I'm excited to get back to work.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so very much for your mission and for your coaching abilities and for what you did for Guerin Catholic this year. And like you said, let's, you know, turn the page, move on to the next year, right?
You got it, Will. Well, I appreciate all your interest in Guerin Catholic and my great kids. You know, I've been getting a lot of applause, but look, I didn't do anything on that field. That was all those kids. And so I'm very, very proud of them. They're deserving of all the attention that they've gotten and all the rounds of applause and community support, as I said, is second to none and was a big, played a big role in what we were able to do here the last 4 weeks.
All right,
very
thank you.
Appreciate for that.
All right, that's Jonathan McClure, head coach of the Guerin Catholic girls soccer program, finished runner-up in the 3A draw. We're going to take a break here on Catholic Sports Weekly. When we come back, Big Joe will join us as we continue after this timeout.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. A couple notes before we get into Big Joe Stasniak. The Colts, if you didn't know, they lost to Cincinnati. Notre Dame, they beat NC State 35-14 last weekend. They're now 7-1. Marion won. They're now 5-3. They host Missouri Baptist. This will be Senior Day this Saturday. It'll kick off at 1:05. So a guy who knows a lot more about those sports now than I ever tried is Big Joe Stasniak. He works for some other channel here in Indianapolis, some other radio show, but he's a 6-year NFL veteran, a St. Malachy parishioner, former CYO coach and advisor. Let's welcome Big Joe Stasniak to the show. Joe, how you doing?
Good, Will. Why didn't you mention my Ohio State Buckeyes?
Well,
you
know, I didn't know.
We got God on our side.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're kind of like Notre Dame, and they take on really easy opponents, and it's just it's an easy it's an easy road to back to the Final Four every year for the Buckeyes, pretty much, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, it's all in recruiting, I'll tell you that. And the way that Penn State game was, there wasn't a whole lot of football IQ in that one, not a whole lot of smarts at all. So it was a little bit frustrating, but, you know, that's sports. I mean, that's what you're dealing with young kids, and you certainly didn't expect, you know, well, we could carry that over in the pro game, too, with the Colts. Not a whole lot of IQ there, high IQ, yeah, at least, when it goes to some of their play. But you know what, we're dealing with human beings, and you do the best you can with the situation you're in, and hopefully it comes away with a win, but more importantly, hopefully you come away a better person when everything's done.
Yeah, and I think I talked about that earlier this year, the show. So many people, and I'm sure it's tough for you. You're a good Catholic guy, good faith-filled guy, and at least you're at St. Malachy with your family, and you're raising kids that are involved in their faith, and but still, you're now in the media. You're a guy that your job is to analyze and to have opinions. And how tough is it to keep your faith as strong as you want it to be, and then have to have the kind of opinion sometime that, like you said, sort of go against what we're trying to do in this world, and that's just kind of get along and love thy neighbor and all that. How do you straddle that fence?
You know what? I don't think it's that hard if you criticize, as long as you're coming from the right place. And I had a coach at Ohio State. His name was Bill Miles, Buddy Miles, we used to call him. He's the offensive line coach. And he said before, and I kind of taken this into coaching too, and a little bit on the radio, but he would say, you know what, before you say anything critical, say three positive things. Mm-hmm. So they might be as simple as, you know, you got in the huddle, you knew where you were supposed to stand in the huddle, y'all broke the huddle at the same time, that was good, and then you got up to the line of scrimmage and got in a good stand. So there you go. From there on out, you were terrible. but at least you did three good things, so that you can see that that whoever you're being critical of or whatever, can see that it's not a personal thing. But you're right. You get paid to have opinions, and I hope I don't take it over the line a little bit. Matter of fact, I probably have more of a reputation of being a homer more
you
than
do.
Anything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
But the hard thing is to deal with guys who maybe, my show isn't based on, you know, getting people to listen because we yell and scream and do that kind of stuff. No, our show is more of a fun deal, and we hope that we're educating people. And so when Jacoby Brissett gets sacked 10 times, we got to let them know that those 10 sacks aren't all on the offensive line. As a matter of fact, less than half of the sacks were on the offensive line. And so you understand that there's a thought process that the quarterback goes through, and he's got to get the ball out in a certain amount of time. Wide receivers have to get open. Coaches have to make sure that these one-on-one battles, you're not putting our buddy Jack Doyle on a Dante Fowler, type guy who's got a couple sacks on the season and is a heck of a job for a regular offensive tackle in this league. So, you know, blame falls all throughout, and I think it's more, I just try to take more of an explanation. Here's some reasons why, here's where we have to get better, and it all falls back to it's a team game, and we're all doing the same thing, we're all fighting for the same thing, but we all have to get on the same page. And then that's where you have to kind of point out some of these guys that may not be on the same page for whatever reason, and a lot of it, you know, all you have to do is listen to sound bites of these guys, and you see that they're not a team player, that they're out for themselves and that kind of a deal. And it just makes it real easy in that case. I don't really have to be the bad guy in that case. You know, we just present the case as it is and try and go from there. But, you know, you're right. It can be kind of tough, and I hold my tongue a lot in situations where, you know, this taking a knee thing and this guys that are talking about being – exploited, and they're, you know, how dare they do this, and this, and I look at them, and I'm like, wait a second, you're half my age, and I never dealt with some of the things that you're talking about. I know with the car you drive, the neighborhood you live in, and, your family life, I know the people in it, I know you never did, so where is this criticism coming from? And I think when you start thinking about these things as a Christian, you don't have black and white anymore. You don't have, you have evil and good. And when you start looking at things as evil and good, it makes the world so much easier. And so I just try to be a proponent of going to church. And, you know, when things go wrong in your life or you got the hard things going on in your life, go to church. The answers are right there. Yeah. All the answers are right there. All you have to do, open your ears, open your eyes, shut your mouth, and you'd be surprised at how many things become so much clearer.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. The gospel readings this last week at church were about loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and also love thy neighbor, the two greatest commandments, the two first and second commandment. And sometimes we forget those things when we get riled up and we get in the middle of the battle and we get in the middle of the what we think is so important between the lines. And you're right. If you just focus on sometimes what's outside the lines, then it maybe get a little easier. You played at the Ohio State University. You had 6 years in the NFL. We're talking to Big Joe Stasniak. His show is the Grady and Big Joe Show. How come you didn't get top billing on that? What's up with that? It just didn't sound as good?
Well, my name rhymes with show.
Oh, okay.
So no matter who, I'm like the Black Widow. I kill everybody I'm with, so they just keep my name last. It's easier to, the artwork is easier to change.
Yeah, but
insert new name here.
How much did being an athlete, playing at the level you played, help shape who you are? When you think of some of the coaches and the people along the way that helped, because you're a great guy. I've known you for 20 years. You're a good soul first. You wear shorts every day, even when it's 25 degrees. You're just a good guy. And a lot of that's because of, I'm sure, the people who helped shape you. Who were your mentors, and how did you become who you are?
Well, that's simple, Mom and Dad. Dad was a police officer for 33 years. Mom taught school for over 25 and raised five kids. That's pretty easy, Dad would take us to work, and it wasn't quite the scared straight, that we used to see when we were kids.
Yeah.
But it was, one of those deals when Dad came home and threw the handcuffs and the gun up on the bureau, said, it's my way or the highway. You kind of took notice.
Yeah, I bet.
my mom being, a teacher and going in and seeing some of her kids and how they, how they would treat her. And it was just funny that I always had a better relationship with my teachers than most people, because you remember when you're in elementary school and the shock of seeing your teacher out there at a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
or for heaven's sakes, they would go out and have something to eat with their family. Like, wait a second, that just doesn't happen. So I've gotten on a personal relationship from just right away, knowing what teachers have to go through and what police officers and that have to go through. And I tell you what, it's simple when you see how hard they work, how important their jobs are, and how really small, me being a professional athlete, it pays so exorbitantly well. And really, what is my purpose? My purpose is to take people's minds off their troubles. That's really about it. And so these guys today are entertainers. And they get it. But the problem is, at some point, they think like they deserve more. And so when I see how hard my mom and dad had to work, and I saw, what effect they had on people and on our community and whatnot, it's real easy to remember how lucky I was to do the things that I got to do. So, got to go to two Super Bowls and, played 7 years and got job opportunities. Like working in radio, which I've done for 23 years now, those came along. You realize, and you kind of going back to the first thing you said, as an athlete, I was not a great athlete. I mean, I was not, I was 6'5" and about 300 pounds as a senior in high school, but there was flab, and, I wasn't the fastest guy, and I wasn't the strongest guy, but I was pretty lucky in that I had some common sense, and I was able to decipher through things pretty quickly. And so I think I just had a pretty lucky package that was put together. I didn't get hurt. I could run a little bit, and I had average skills, but I could think through problems, and it was just all those kind of things together. I never made more than $400,000 in a year. And that's a great salary, believe me. But in 7 years in the NFL, that was by far, 1 year I made that, and I didn't even play.
Yeah.
So,
and when you compare it to what people are making today, that's,
Yeah, exactly. And so I always knew I was going to have to work, and that's why, mom's school teacher, my brothers and sisters were such a great influence. I mean, we were all pretty athletic. We all went to college on some sort of scholarship, whether it was just, even at D3 level, some academic aid or whatever. It was for sports, except for my little brother, who ended up going on a GI Bill and you know, he's a Marine reservist and a police officer now. So we all had some sort of a scholarship that we tried to help mom and dad out, you know, that way. And again, they were all good students, so there was a peer pressure at home to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just going home and having a solid home life where you don't have to worry about people degrading you and bringing you down. And you know what? It was great, because as much as we fought as kids, we were there for one another once we got out of school. We were thicker than anybody. You didn't mess with us when we got to school and in the public, because we had each other's backs. And again, it was one of those things where we developed a lot of friends, because that's the way things were. We were outdoors a lot, small house, a lot of kids, you know, that kind of thing. We learned how to communicate, and we learned the importance. It wasn't material things. The importance was experience and friendships and those kinds of things. So it really wasn't hard. Mom and Dad set the example, and we just kind of followed it. And I tell you, it's hard now, and you know this as a parent, it's hard now to get people off the social media, get the technology out of their hands. And I've got a 13-year-old right now that comes home from school, and, you know, it's like, why? Put that thing down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You get berated at school enough. It's tough enough being a 13-year-old and going to school, and then to constantly have negative reinforcement, and, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And so half the day you would come home, at least in my experience, we would come home and be around a loving family. And then if you had a bad day at school with kids making fun of you, whatever, that only lasted half the day, and you were happy to get home around people that loved you.
Yeah. Well, Big Joe, we could go on and on, but unfortunately, as you know, in the radio business, there's a clock that's ticking. And so thank you so very much.
Catholic Radio Indy. There's lives being touched every single day by it.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. Big, big thank you to both of our guests today. Jonathan McClure, the coach of the Guerin Catholic soccer team, who went all the way to the state championship game, lost to Penn, but they are state runner-ups and building towards the future. And also Big Joe Stasniak, he's from St. Malachy. And don't forget, high school football, the sectionals roll on this week. The big game of the week, probably Chatard against Ritter. That game is a battle. Chatard and Ritter both moved on, and they take on each other in the Class 3A Sectional 29 Championship this week. We do appreciate you listening. Again, a real big thank you to Catholic Athletes for Christ. More information on them at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. And thank you so very much, and we will hear you, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who have touched and are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the sports we all love. Listen each Tuesday and Friday afternoon at 4 for Catholic Sports Weekly here on Catholic Radio Indy. This program is underwritten by Catholic Athletes for Christ. More information is available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.